He's come from Salzburg, which is kind of a big energy kind of team.
Because of Red Bull, right?
Oh, yeah.
Slam dunk it.
Cut that. Please. Cut it straight out.
That's the intro, lad.
We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello, and welcome to the 16th edition of the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. Just myself and Adrian today. Connor's taken a well-deserved break. We have just finished watching, a few hours ago I should say really, the Community Shield, where Arsenal took on Liverpool. Kind of had a pre-season feel to it, but was a pretty entertaining game, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Well, I agree with that. Yeah, I don't agree with the result, but no. Anyway.
Okay, that's fair. I think it was a good game. I think there's promising signs for both teams, Arsenal probably more so. Mm-hmm. The knock-on effect of winning a trophy before the season starts for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal, can they carry that form through to the season? Were you impressed with what you saw?
Yeah, I was. I had a feeling beforehand that we might have a difficult day. The last time we played Arsenal, yes. You know, they won 2-1.
Yeah.
And it was a really dogged affair.
Mm.
I think he's turned them into like a team that's hard to beat.
Mm.
And I think they probably needed the win more than us. And I don't mean that in a sore loser kind of way.
Yeah.
But winning today would have been like the icing on the cake, maybe. Or like, you know, a nice little like boost for the start of the season. But I think Arsenal really needed that. Mm. A bit like they needed the FA Cup. They needed to feel like there's progress when there's not a whole lot coming in. You know, I mean, they weren't even playing Willian today.
No.
He didn't even play.
Yep.
And he's like, I suppose, their big recruitment for this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I think they defended very well. If they go with this kind of game plan for the season, that they're going to be very hard to beat and have a world-class striker up front, they could do quite well. But maybe against teams that are going to defend.
Yeah.
They might struggle.
That's kind of been Arsenal's issue for a while now, hasn't it? That they do seem to play well against the so-called bigger sides.
Mm-hmm.
But when people park the bus, they don't really have that, that spark to break through. But I was pretty impressed with how much they've improved in 6 months now and how you can see that the coaching, or perhaps you credit Arteta with it,
mm-hmm.
The shape and the structure of Arsenal. You know, Flynn's had plenty of meltdown about how slapdash the team was and the lineup was. To see them actually be quite cohesive and be very competitive against, you know, the best team in England was good sign. It was a good sign.
Yeah.
With a very young team too.
Yeah, you know? Young team. And I mean, let's remember they didn't win. They didn't win. They didn't beat Liverpool.
Well,
they drew, but
that's a good
you
point.
No, you're right. But like, you know, young players stepping up. I think. What's that guy's name?
Maitland Niles.
Thank
it?
You.
Yeah.
I'm always like Nathan Miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he scored a penalty.
Yeah.
You know,
a great game.
And Liverpool have a really good record in penalty shootouts. So to have that. It's the mental, what you call it? The mental
experience kind of thing, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
To, you know, win penalty shootout. I think it sets Arsenal up really well.
I'd agree.
And I don't think it's that big a deal for Liverpool. Liverpool lost the Community Shield last season against City and went on to win the league. So, I'm not going to say I'm pleased with the result, but I'm probably not as upset as an Arsenal fan would be if they had lost, if that's a fair way to put it.
That's a fair way to put it, yeah. I think it means a whole lot more for Arsenal, mm-hmm. considering how they ended, or how last season was as a whole for them.
And it was very pre-season-y, because
yeah.
Now there's 2 weeks international break.
Yep.
So... I feel like such a bad loser, but like it's just not that big a deal for us.
Okay, yeah, that's big club mentality, that is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Liverpool fans are turning into United fans
very quick. But very United quick. Fans are turning into Liverpool bad fans. Liverpool fans very quick as well.
It's true.
Like, the amount of fucking messages I was getting during that game, being like, oh, that's the end of Liverpool, that lasted too long.
It's tough it's at like, the top, man. It's tough at the top.
Yeah. I'll dry my tears with the Champions League, Premier League, every trophy available.
Club World Cup.
Yeah.
Or Club World Championship, whatever they call it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so best club in the world, basically, right?
What?
Liverpool, best club in the world, were in Europe for a while.
Oh, yeah. But there was a point there, up until Bayern won the league.
Yeah.
We were English champions, European champions, and world champions.
It's tough at the top.
I don't think it's ever been done before.
Mm.
I don't know. I didn't hear research
United,
that.
Probably.
Oh, fuck. Fuck United. What, like 20 years ago? Good luck.
Great point. I think big two big standout names or performances, I should say, really, was Minamino for Liverpool,
mm-hmm.
Martinez in goal for Arsenal. That's a big call by Arteta to put him between the sticks now with Leno being fit.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, look, he was doing so well at the end of last season, wasn't he? You know?
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, I don't know, but is Leno 100% fit?
I don't
Possibly
know.
Possibly not.
I don't know. Apparently, it's a bit of a dilemma with Martinez now, is that there are clubs offering
mm-hmm.
for his services. Do you keep him as a really strong number two when he plays Europe and Cups like he did last year? Or do you make him his number one? Is your number one keeper your best form keeper or your bigger name?
I mean, that's been a problem with like Chelsea, really, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking Kepa.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. I don't know. Like, probably, realistically, it depends on the club.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a top six club, your number one keeper is going to be your bigger name. Like, it's United and De Gea.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing shit for the last 2 years, but they're not going to drop him because it would be too big a deal.
Yeah.
And if it went wrong, they're going to feel the effects of it.
There's an argument to say, though, that like he should be taking the better, the player on form.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would drop it. Like, I find it really funny with keepers. You drop a centre-back in a heartbeat if they made a string of mistakes.
Mm.
Like, David Luiz would find himself on the bench in no time at all. But a keeper, it seems to be very hard to budge them. No matter how many games they're at fault for things, it's very hard for a keeper to lose their place. You know, if a striker's not scoring in 10 games, you try something else, right? You try another formation.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, I guess, a big thing with keepers is they don't want to be... Managers don't want to drop them in it. Yeah. They don't want to say, yeah, they fucked up, so they're gone. Mm. Like, they'd rather say, well, the team didn't defend as a whole or as a unit or something. You know? So yeah. And there probably are usually more options to bring in a centre-back.
Mm.
Than just the one keeper and a youth keeper on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair point. I think to flip it on its head, if you had a striker that was your sub striker and he scored like 10 games in a row while your star striker was injured, I don't think people would be as quick to drop him. Because they're like, he's on form, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, it's like the old thing in football, isn't it? Like, the further back the position, the more responsibility. Like,
yeah,
you're not going to drop a striker because he hasn't scored in a game, but you might drop a centre back if he is an absolute howler.
Yeah, yeah, they get a tough time.
Yeah.
It's not a glamorous position for sure. Minamino had a good appearance, albeit 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I think. But he just reminded me, and I don't want this to be like a big stereotype, but he really reminded me of like other Korean and Japanese players we saw in the Premier League, where they just run their socks off for the whole time they're on the pitch,
yeah.
And just look very energetic and contributing positively to the team.
Yeah, he's come from Salzburg, which is kind of a big energy kind of team.
Because of Red Bull, right?
Oh, yeah.
Slam dunk it.
Cut it straight out.
That's the intro, lad.
He's always had that. He hasn't really scored or assisted anything since January.
Now,
I suppose there was 6 months we weren't playing anything, or 3 months anyway.
Yeah.
But he's got his goal now. He looks really tidy. I don't know, will he ever be like a Salah impact? You know, I don't think he's going to go on and play 200 games for Liverpool. But he looks, like you said, very good. Works very hard. I'm sure, like you're saying, the kind of Asian
Jisun Park and Kagawa.
Maybe
stuff,
that's
yeah.
just a mentality thing. I have no idea. Or it's the way they're, you know, taught in schools and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a good option. I don't see Liverpool buying a forward. So they're going to have Origi, who is like, Liverpool's whole thing is like speed, intensity, all that kind of stuff. If you see him play, like he gets the ball and takes about three touches and then does something.
Origi, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Minamino is a lot quicker. Yeah. He's probably not as clinical, but he's a lot quicker. And I think he'd fit into that Firmino role a lot better.
That's it. And I think he's a good player, squad player to have, because he keeps the front three on their toes, because you can get complacent. Like Salah's, Mane, Firmino's, like Klopp adores Firmino. Like he's nearly the first name on this team sheet, right?
Yeah.
It's bad for a player to get that complacent.
Yeah.
And I think someone like Minamino, who, like you said, isn't going to be a world beater, isn't going to be the world class taking Salah's spot or anything, but he's sure good to bring on as a plan B.
Yeah. I just think his attitude is like everything. Like you see Shaqiri even. I know he's had a lot of injuries, but he doesn't play much because his attitude isn't like you'd hope it would be. He's very much a quality player.
Yeah.
Like Messi. You know, you don't see Messi tracking back the whole time.
Mm.
I just compared Shaqiri to Messi, and I apologize.
We should be cutting that. Cut my energized joke.
But you know what I mean? It's that, like, he's so good. Like set piece and like going forward and getting balls into the box and all that kind of stuff. He's not really good at tracking back or like hassling people, like pressing. And that's what Minamino is, without maybe as much quality on the ball. But even if you saw the goal, like the build up, it's a bit scrappy, but he doesn't panic at any stage. He's like just inside the box. And he tries to get the ball off, and it ends up coming back to him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't kind of just bring it down and snatch at it. Yeah. He's not like, fuck, I need a goal.
No, tidy.
Yeah, very tidy.
It was, and like, for all the credit I gave Arsenal, the goal they conceded was very much reminiscent of months and years gone by. I guess a bit of a... How a Liverpool fella was the last man on the ball when there was like six Arsenal guys around the ball. But it was a tricky one. I mean, I think you'd be really critical of.
Yeah, Arsenal, I think that's a bit harsh. I mean, for the other 89 minutes, they were being, you know, put under the cosh and really dealt with it well. So
yeah,
against the best team in England, so.
And the world,
and the world and Europe.
I thought Kieran Tierney was very well. I thought Rob Holding as well held his own.
Mm-hmm.
Brewster missed the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of rush of blood to the head, I guess. He just skied it. He's been linked with every bottom half Premier League club. Do you reckon he will stay, or do you reckon he's going to go?
Good question. I don't know. I think probably they'll keep him until January again, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll see how much game time they can like allow him.
Yeah.
Because he did well in preseason, and there's still a lot of hype around him. He did really well at Swansea. Oh, he missed a penalty today, which is to be honest, it's a shame. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Lukaku did the same for Chelsea in the Super Cup.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and it was like game over.
Yeah.
I hope it's not like that, because he's a lot younger. He's kind of that like natural finisher that we don't have. He's being compared to like Robbie Fowler, which is ridiculous. But that kind of like, he's not particularly good at anything except for scoring goals, which is a very good thing to be good at.
Very, very much so.
I think they'll keep him till, I don't know, the way Klopp is talking, then he's kind of talking, he's not saying anything. So that makes me think maybe if the right offer came in, like, oh, maybe not a West Brom, but you know, that kind of lower half of yeah. the table, Premier League. But I think it would be good just to keep him to January and see if he's getting games. And if he's not getting games, send him out, because he's just, I think he's 19.
Yeah,
he needs a few games.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know where he fits right now, and I don't know who he'd come on for, even really, at what point of the game, you know.
Yeah, like Minamino is a better option.
Yeah,
so
because he's more. He can be deeper. Whereas if you're bringing on Brewster, what, you're going to take off Firmino? You're going to lose that link.
Yeah. But if you're like 1-0 down and you've got the three up front and you sacrifice a midfielder or something and have that guy in the box who just knows where to be.
Yeah.
Do you know? And no, that's all it would take to like really kickstart his career, is like one winning goal.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Apparently
it's like a knock-on thing. There's a few teams looking at like that Ollie Watkins from Brentford, mm-hmm. who scored a bag of goals in the Championship, and allegedly if he goes, it's like there's a few teams like Palace, Villa, West Brom as well, like kind of the lower half table.
Sheffield
teams.
United, I've Sheffield heard a United, lot about. Yeah,
yeah, is there being linked? And if that happens, then he's like number one target for a lot of teams, and whoever gets him, or if they do sign him, the others will try and scramble for like a loan signing, and Brewster is. Brewster would be a very good pickup, I think, for Palace as well. I don't know, really. I mean, we could just do with someone who could score goals, really, would be nice. But I think he'd do a job for a lot of lower half teams. He did it in the Championship very, very consistently last year.
This is great. I love talking about Liverpool for 20 minutes.
Fuck's sake. Well, we spoke about Arsenal too. It was the Community Shield. I think that we'll get to it a little bit later on with like our season expectations, but I really think that Arsenal have put the work in,
mm-hmm.
Arteta especially, has just changed the culture and found a good team and not been afraid to play players that not necessarily aren't the big names in the role that suits them. So I've got to credit that, and I think Liverpool as well are in for another strong season. I think that goes without saying, really. I don't think that's a hot take.
No. No, I mean, there's an average of like 98 points over the last two seasons, something like that. So,
Yeah.
You don't see them dropping off a cliff.
No, I feel the league will be far more competitive, but we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that. I think that kind of wraps up our Community Shield review.
Yeah.
I wanted to speak to you, Adrian, about a very big talking point over the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. A lot of controversy around this. A lot of opinions, right? Mm-hmm. My mind is very firmly made up on what this is, right?
Okay.
But Mr. Harry Maguire, Slabhead.
Yes.
The lad in Greece.
Yes.
Greece Lightning.
Yeah.
Well.
Well.
I didn't really ask a question there.
I can go if you want me to go.
I mean, yeah. All right.
Like.
That's because we saw the interview, right?
That's the
biggest part, right? Yeah. I think
that interview is a codswallop.
Yeah.
I think it's like he's putting on this emotion.
Mm.
Look, maybe it's true, right? Fuck's sake. We have to say this. Maybe it's true, and maybe his sister was drugged and immediately like resuscitated herself and was fine, and everything is made up by the Greek police. Honest to God, it sounds so fucking fake.
It does, yeah.
He's like, oh, what happened at the bar was just, yeah, there was a lot of yelling and shouting. And then our bus turned down a lane and there were some men that were kidnapping us. And I don't think I hurt one of them, but they were hurting me a lot. I'd love to see some fucking bruised pictures or something. Mm. Anything. Yeah. And everything he's saying happened where there's no CCTV, no proof.
Mm.
Only his brother and someone else, a friend or something.
Yeah.
All this fucking bullshit. I think it's nonsense. I think the guy's full of shit.
Yeah, that's kind of where I sit too, right? Is that I think it just... That interview, right? Any credibility I had probably before that in believing that angle, believing those reports, kind of went out the window. People need to learn that if you're looking to clear your name, you don't go on the BBC, right? No. You just don't do it.
Idiot.
Go to a shitty tabloid, right? Because more people will believe it than the BBC. It just doesn't work. It was nearly as bad as like that Prince Andrew interview where, you know, I don't sweat all that shit.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not a nonce. even though you are.
Yeah, Prince Andrew, if you're listening.
You fucking better be.
You earned that.
There's Peter Crouch podcast had Prince William on.
Yeah, true.
We should have Prince Andrew on. The nonce cast. Yeah.
But it's desperation. That's it.
Yeah, it screams a lawyer saying, look, you need an alibi, yes. You need a reason and justification for this. Like,
oh, and there's something interesting that I learned that, generally speaking, if someone's telling the truth, they just say, like, a very simple answer.
Yeah.
Like, where were you at 3 o'clock? Well, I think I was just at home. Whereas, if you're lying and someone says, where were you at 3 o'clock? You're going to come up with something. Well, I was at my sister's house because she was really sick and I had to mind the baby. Yeah, something ridiculous like that. And they ask him, fuck, I can't even remember. They ask him something really specific at some point. Oh, it's like, and do you categorically deny hurting that officer's back?
Yeah.
Which is a claim against him. He goes, well, I mean, I had one hand in a handcuff at that stage and I was trying to run away and I was doing this and doing that. And it's like, just say, yes, I deny it. I did not hurt his back.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. And he comes up, he's talking for like another minute, two minutes about how he doesn't think he hurt this guy's back.
Mm.
Fucking liar. I'm calling that now. He's a fucking liar.
It's true. It's true. The thing that got me, right, the thing that really kind of made me annoyed, but also just laugh and just basically just dismiss it, right, is when they asked, they were like, about the what happened to your sister, or like, was it very upsetting when this was happening to your sister? I can't talk about it. Yeah, this fake ass crying.
It's hard to talk about. It's like,
you're always not hard to talk about.
He's going to be fucking done now.
Yeah, it's not hard to talk about. You asked the BBC to interview you. So you should be prepared to fucking talk. No, it was very embarrassing. I think England did the right thing of, you know, maybe take some time off the team.
Of course. Like, imagine playing against him. How easy that would be, like.
Oh, you just get under his skin. Can you, like, he's lucky it's still behind closed doors at football. Can you imagine?
Oh.
If he has a job to come back to. I mean, I know United have stood with him.
He will, unfortunately. Yeah, but
he'll probably pay his way out, right?
So we both think he's in the wrong, that he definitely acted out. No,
yeah, I think of like the fairest thing to say, only knowing what's from that interview and what's been like officially released from like the Greek side, is that he had a few to drink. He was rowdy with a bunch of mates, as we all have been on holiday, and as everyone has a right to be boisterous, I guess, kind of. And he's got himself in trouble. Bit of an ego, because he's a football player.
Mm-hmm.
He's maybe tried to stick up for himself a bit. Police in England aren't the same as like police in Greece, right?
No.
He's got a nightstick or two. Yeah. Tried to fight back. It's all blown up on him.
Yeah.
And this is his scapegoat, I guess.
Yeah. Because he also doesn't deny being drunk.
Yeah.
He's asked that. And he says, well, you know, if you ask... He said, always says this, if you ask any of my family or friends... Well, we're not fucking gonna, are we? Clearly.
Yeah.
If you ask any of my family or friends, like, he basically says, I hold my drink very well. And this fucking thing of, my sister was drugged, there was a needle, like, there was
a
needle hole, but then she woke up then in the bus and was fine, and that's the end of that part of the story that I've made up.
But all of that is kind of irrelevant. Like, if that happened, terrible. Okay? You need to go to police about that stuff, right? You need to report that, that she was attempted to be assaulted or whatever it was, right? Or just, even just GBH for, like, puncturing someone with a needle.
But if that happened, look.
But, the basis is, right, is that, did he assault a police officer? I believe so, because it's very easy to assault a police officer.
For sure,
because they are policemen, and I'm sure that even if you push them, of course they're going to say that's assault, right?
Yeah.
And number two is that, did he brag? Did he bribe?
Without 100%.
Doubt. Without doubt.
100%.
Without doubt.
That's another bit that he goes off on a tangent when he's asked about it.
Yeah.
But even the sister thing, I don't mind saying I don't believe it, because there was a point in that interview where He says, so we got into the bus and we said, bring us back to the villa. Something like this. Bring us back to the villa so that we can go straight to the hospital. Yeah. Which makes clearly no sense. Just go straight to the hospital.
Yep.
But then on the way to the villa, she kind of woke up and was fine. So we were just going to go back to the villa. It's like, if you think your sister was injected with something, you're going to go straight to the fucking hospital. Exactly. And they never end up in the hospital. There's never any talk of her being tested or her getting worse or anything. It's just, it's total excuse. I'm so glad we got onto this. I'm so sad.
Yeah, I can't believe that this is actually like kind of impromptu topic. Yeah. Well, look, let's just say that Harry Maguire is lucky that the jury isn't members of the podcast because he'd be banged up.
Yeah.
Banged up abroad. Moving on to, I guess, more controversially, but more football related, big talking point, potentially big talking point for the Premier League, is Messi and Messi's future. Now, personally, I'm still, and I know everything points to his departure, I still feel this will be worked out. I think he's leveraging for the board to resign. But what's your thoughts on the Messi situation?
Nice one, the Messi situation.
That's a start now. That's the intro.
Unfortunately, I feel the same.
Really? Okay, yeah. Great. End discussion.
Yeah, like, I just don't... To be honest, when it first broke, I really thought, yeah, he's going to go to Man City, Pep Guardiola, all that stuff, just adds up. But now there's that whole thing of the clause in his contract.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be 10 days after the Champions League final, he can decide to leave on a free. But there's a bit of unsurety because the Champions League final date was changed this year.
Yeah.
So there's talk that if he wants to leave, he'll have to bring them to court, which will take too much time. I see it being resolved with Barcelona. He supposedly called for a meeting with them. So it could be resolved by the time this podcast comes out, to be honest, but I just think it's unlikely that he'll be anywhere but Barcelona next year.
Yeah, look, as much as I would absolutely love it, I don't think we're going to be that lucky. And the whole world, I think near enough the whole world disagrees with us. I feel that going by the reports and going from Spanish media and from sources close to Barcelona, he's as good as gone. But I just feel that he's done it before. A lot of players do it before, where there's dust starts kicking up and it's a contract comes out of it. I think this one is different. I actually think this is more of like a political move by Messi.
Yeah.
We saw Piqué's interview after the 8-2 defeat where he was like, you know, things need to change. And if I need to step down or if I need to retire to kind of make those changes, I will. But he also made, I guess, he kind of alluded to the board, not just being the manager or the players. It's more than that. They're clearly unhappy with how the club is being run from a board level. And I think Messi is probably the only player that can have enough leverage to make movements that way. And I feel the players feel that way. And I think he's maybe trying to play a bit of a political game with it.
I don't know if it's like a deliberate, I'm going to do this like fake leave to make things happen. I think he does want to leave, but I think they'll convince him or they'll make it too awkward for him to leave.
Yeah, because that's the risk, isn't it? Is that they're saying that if things go to pot, the Barcelona board will just leak a lot of stuff to basically try and turn the fans against Messi so that it'll have to go, and then they'll get what they want, which is hundreds of millions of euros at least for him. Rather than, you know, walking away scot-free, which he can do in 12 months anyway, or whenever the fucking season ends now.
Yeah.
Bit of a strange one.
If he leaves, do you see him going anywhere but Man City?
I think there's only... I honestly think there's only, like, two realistic destinations. And I think that other realistic destinations would be like China or Qatar, where they definitely have the money for it. But he's not going to do it.
No,
I think Paris Saint Germain, maybe.
Yeah,
just for the Neymar connection, and obviously got cash, and Man City being the other one too. I would absolutely love it to see Messi
at
City because he's probably the only realistic one. Chelsea's name's been flirted around too. I'd love to see him in the Premier League because I think it would just quieten a lot of the whole, well, could he do it
outside
of La Liga? It's like, I'm sure he fucking
even could. If he went to City, I'd still like to see it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think what they're talking about is, and I do believe he wants to go to City and that it's possible if he's allowed to leave, but they're talking about him going to City for like 2-3 year contract and then going to the other club they own in New York and doing a year or two in the MLS and then retiring.
It
would be perfect,
it would make sense, but with Messi doesn't just come the transfer fee, it comes like he's on like £1.2 million a week right now.
I know, something ridiculous,
insane. So you obviously got to pay him well, but he also demands a team around him. That's another reason why he's unhappy at Barcelona, is because they've invested very poorly.
But you'd think, like, look, Barcelona haven't had a manager to manage Messi since... I don't know.
Luis Enrique,
maybe?
Luis Enrique, yeah. They've had
Guardiola.
That's the thing, is that another reason why there's the unhappiness in the team is that they've had a string of shoddy managers.
Yeah, nobody's.
Nobody's, really.
Yeah.
It's as if they've, like, hired mates.
Whereas I think at least if he went to City, Guardiola can... He has the personality to keep him in check, surely.
He's done it before. So he gave Messi his debut. He was in the B team.
Debut?
I'm sure he did. He managed Barcelona B with Messi in it, I believe. I mean, if that's wrong, Flynn, you can edit that the fuck out, right? But if it's right...
Flynn's not going to search that.
No, I know. I believe that's
true. But no one's going to pull us up on it either, so it's fine.
It's true. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
If we see him in the Premier League, I think we'll be very fucking lucky. Real lucky.
I'd love it, yeah.
But I just don't see it. I feel he's being the Barcelona jersey next season.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
With Ronald Koeman at the helm.
God, right.
Yeah. Everton manager. Reject, yeah. Good luck. More actual transfers that have happened. I think Chelsea have purchased very well.
Very well.
Which I think emphasizes and backs and supports my claim that Lampard is a fantastic manager. So, Dave, if you want to turn off now, tune back in maybe like 5 to 10 minutes. But I feel as well Lampard has spent about 200 million now, which equals what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer spent last season. So I think it's more of a fairer comparison between the two now.
Yeah. There's talk that he could break the record for like what's spent in a window.
I mean, they've got making up for last time, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Thiago Silva, time will tell if that's any good. I mean, he's 35, but fuck it. He's Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
Werner, great. Are we calling him Ziyech?
Ziyech? Sure. Yeah, we'll call him that.
That guy from Ajax. Yeah, probably a good bit of business, but like again, we have to wait and see. And Chilwell, England. He's English.
Pretty
he's
much.
Good for the homegrown rule. And he clearly doesn't really like Alonso at left back, so.
No, not a lot of people like he's had two managers in a row now where Alonso's been out of favour. I wonder is it...
He scores a lot of goals.
Yeah, I wonder is it his murderous ways?
Marcus Alonso killed people in a car crash. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Officially. Fucking come at us.
Jesus, this is like the legal cast or something. Like we've put people... We've got the guillotine out for people tonight.
Look. He's also probably getting on a bit, so...
Yeah.
I have no idea how old Chilwell is.
Not as old as Alonso.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the answer.
Probably.
Yeah. They also purchased that Saar from Nice, and they've immediately said...
Yeah.
He's going back out
on loan. Straight back on loan.
Of course he fucking is. Along with the other...
It's the Chelsea way.
But look, lads.
I mean...
It works.
Solskjaer has bought no one, and Lampard has bought loads of people.
Yeah.
This window.
That's it. So it's 5-0 to Lampard already.
Yes. This argument is going to rage on until next May.
Yeah, and that's it. I think come May, final positions. I think Chelsea and United are very, very even.
We're going to get to it.
Yeah.
We're going to get to it.
They're very, very even. And I think come the end of the season.
Yeah.
that's when one side of the argument will have to accept.
The proof is in the pudding.
As they say. Last but not least, before we move on to our season expectations, which I'm very much looking forward to, because I think it's very juicy.
We're going out of it.
We are. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we are.
But it's just you and me. There's no one to
There's no buffer. Us. Yeah. When I'm not officially the host, I don't like keep you quiet.
Yeah, this is just conversations between you and me.
Yeah, late night chat with Hanley and Kieran. I mean, what more do you want? Matt Doherty to Wolves to Spurs.
Is that confirmed now?
Not confirmed yet, I don't think. Apparently it will be before he goes on international duty. So that's Monday.
Yeah. What do you reckon? Good?
I think it's a fucking bargain at 15 million, if that's the case. Jesus Christ. That's like when you think Wan-Bissaka went for 50 the season before.
True.
Yeah.
Holy moly, that's
similar-ish kind of players, but big age difference, I guess.
These are COVID times.
But
but he's not old either. I mean, he's 28.
So a couple more years in him.
Yeah, plenty more years.
I
find it interesting then that Spurs got an offer for Aurier, or Aurier. I don't know how you say, and rejected it.
Yeah,
when he's clearly not really going to play much.
No. And I thought he wanted to go.
Yeah,
here we are.
So hopefully Matt Doherty plays at the top of the top level for a couple of years. That'd be great.
He'll be in Europa League
again. Seamus Coleman will be.
Got it.
Bench fodder.
Yeah, well, shouldn't have had your leg broken, I guess. Jesus.
Yeah, I just clipped that and sent it to him on Twitter.
Thanks for the memories, Seamus.
Shouldn't have had your leg broken, I guess.
Alright, cool. We're going to take a look at, I guess, early doors, really, because even though the season is such a short gap between the end and the start of the next one, I think it's very early view of like season expectations and who we think is going to slot where in the Premier League. So we've had a bit of a think. I guess we'll go with the top four first, and if you could say who you feel is going to win the league next year too, that would be great as well. So who do you have, Hanley?
Okay. I'm still thinking.
Okay,
my top four, not in order but in a vague order.
Yeah.
I think City and Liverpool will be top two. Mm. I think Chelsea will be top three.
Mm.
Or third, I should say. And I was really unsure of four. I was between United and Arsenal.
Yeah.
I said to myself, I'll wait and see what happens with Arsenal today. And based on that, I'm going to go with Man United.
Fair enough.
Because of what we were saying earlier, I don't know how they'll do against teams that sit back and defend.
Yeah.
I think United have more in them. We also have to see what happens in the rest of the transfer window. It's nearly impossible to predict at this point, but I think United are better set up right now to finish top four than Arsenal.
Yeah.
Even though I think Arteta is doing a better job than Solskjaer.
Yes. As is everyone else. Yeah, no, it's I agree, especially on the point that, you know, struggling against the smaller teams.
Yeah.
Because you know, United basically post COVID was the smaller teams and being able to put them to the sword.
Yeah.
And compete against the so-called bigger clubs as well.
Do you have a top four?
I do. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm really flip-flopping over Arsenal and United. Just to be different, I'm going to say Arsenal get top four.
Interesting.
We always have a surprise, it seems, in the Champions League or Europe over the past few seasons. You know, we had Wolves and Burnley. United in the Champions League last season was a big, big surprise. So there will always be that wild card team, I guess. Maybe it's Arsenal. I don't think it's going to be Spurs. I don't think Leicester are going to do it again.
No.
So maybe Arsenal. But I do think that the set and forget top three are going to be Liverpool, City and Chelsea.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as close as, as runaway as it's been
for
the past few years, because I think that Chelsea, United, Arsenal and Spurs arguably are all improved. Whereas Liverpool are maintaining.
Yeah.
City are, you never really know with City. They should be fantastic, but sometimes they're just not.
Yeah, and it is an aging squad.
Mm.
Like, it depends, is Jesus going to turn into a 20-goal striker this season.
Yeah.
If he gets the games, I'm sure he will, but if Pep is doing his fucking rotation thing the whole time, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
And if they get Messi, they might run away with it.
I know, that's the thing. If Messi signs, it's like, yeah. Well, City's title, right?
Yeah. I'll say it now. I think Liverpool will have another 90-plus point season.
Mm.
I don't know if they'll win it, because winning consecutive leagues is like notoriously difficult.
Yeah.
And, I mean, based on today, they looked not too good. They haven't strengthened. You'd hope they'll bring in one or two before the end of the season. If your man Thiago comes, I think that could make a huge difference. But right now, if I had to predict... Nah, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm a Liverpool fan. I'll say we'll win the league again. Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
I'll go for
it. You kind of stole my thunder, but yeah. The exact same.
Really?
I do think that Liverpool will defend their title.
Ooh.
It will be tough.
I'm not
really
sure
tough.
I believe that.
Maybe I don't either.
It's just years of... of failure that makes
you don't even believe that you have won the league. No. You're still not believing that. No, I think they will. I think that this year will throw up a lot of strange things. I think that's the next challenge for Liverpool now, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It was always hanging over your head was no Premier League, won Champions Leagues, you'd performed well, you'd broken points and all that, but I think it's the next challenge for Liverpool, right? Is actually prove that it's not just a once-off.
What I will say is, the Liverpool 11 is so strong. The other players in the squad, obviously, aren't as strong, but for two seasons, when we've done really, really well, the likes of Salah, Mane, Van Dijk have avoided major injury.
Yeah.
And this could be the season that Van Dijk breaks his leg, or Salah does his cruciate or something.
Mm.
Just feels like we're riding that wave a bit too long with no backup.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I just feel like after two seasons and not much of a break in between last season and this season now, something could go wrong. So be interesting to see how they deal with it.
Very good. Very good. Well, speaking of things going wrong, who do you feel is going to be relegated?
Whew.
That was a really good segue, by the way.
That was perfect.
I know, right?
That was so good. Right. I have three teams. I have seven teams written down. But yeah. I have the three that I think will, but like...
The seven potential teams.
Do you want my seven potential or just the three?
I mean, you've teased us now with the seven, so give us the seven.
Okay, the seven I have are West Brom, Brighton, Leeds, Fulham, West Ham, Villa, and Sheffield United.
Ooh, okay.
Hmm.
Okay, and who do you think is going to be relegated from
that? I think the three of those will be Villa, Fulham, and Sheffield United.
Wow, that's a big call.
I know it's a big call, but it seems like nearly, not every year, but probably every second year, a team is promoted and does, like, ridiculously well.
Yeah.
Like, so well. I remember, like, Hull had a season like that.
Huddersfield.
Wigan, Huddersfield.
Yeah,
like, finishing
season.
Not just top half, but, like, seventh, eighth, that kind of. And I feel like that's what happened with Sheffield.
Mm.
And they're just, like, flying high. I just think they could have a few bad games at the start of the season and never recover. And I think...
Yeah.
Like, Brighton I have down there, I think, every year I think Brighton are going to get relegated and they survive. They've just got it in them now. They've never been relegated. They're one of those teams. Leeds, I think, are, their squad is, like, too good. West Brom, again, I just think...
It's hard to say, isn't it?
It is. And, like, we don't watch the Championship all that much.
Yeah.
But, like, even just looking at the manager and looking at where... And looking at how well they did... It's hard to say West Brom. And West Ham, again, like, you know, they got themselves into an issue this year and got out of it. I don't see Villa escaping it again.
And depends, I guess, doesn't it?
Fulham, to be honest, Like I watched the playoff final and they were fine. I didn't think they were a Premier League team.
No, it was a shame. I actually think that Brentford are the better team than Fulham. I was very sad when Fulham got promoted because it's just
it's
the same teams.
Fucking
West Brom too. It's like
Mitrovic again.
Yeah.
Do we need that cunt back in the league?
We don't.
Oh my god.
Useless.
Yeah.
Useless fella.
So those are my three: Villa, Fulham, Sheffield United.
I mean, look, if you've called it, that's a big, big call, and fair play to you.
Thanks.
I kind of had the same logic
mm-hmm.
in my three relegated teams, where there seems to always be a pattern of the three being two newly promoted teams and one surprise. I've gone for Fulham rock bottom because that's what they do.
Okay.
West Brom second because I think they're the middle of the three promoted teams. I think Leeds will actually do pretty well this year. They just have...
Yeah.
They've got a pretty talented squad.
I think so too.
I think they'll hold their own.
Yeah.
And I think West Ham's time is up.
Ooh.
I do. I think they've been like Watford last year. They were a bit too big for their boots.
Yeah.
That's all this talk. Like fucking West Ham fans thinking that they're a big club. You're not. Right, maybe in the 80s your fans thought you were, right? Just because a few of the England 1966 team played for West Ham means fuck all, right? They've got a huge wage bill. They've got a load of mercenaries. They play in a stadium that they have no being or owning or having. And I think it's just going to come crashing down.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be the wake-up call that the club needs to get back to its roots of being a, you know... a traditional London club that should be using and utilising their youth academy.
And they haven't signed anyone, have they? No one of interest.
I mean, no one I'm going to talk about now anyway.
Yeah.
But I think their time is up and I would love it. Two years in a row to have Watford and West Ham down, go for the hat-trick then and get Brighton the following season.
Excellent. Do you have fears of Palace going down?
I had fears before we signed Eze, or Easy, or however you want to pronounce it. It just rejuvenated. It's funny, isn't it? Football's so up and down. Like, before that signing, or before signing Ferguson even, it's kind of doom and gloom. It's like, fucking hell, we have a squad average age of 42. We've only got a team full of defence midfielders. There's no way Roy Hodgson's ever going to bring like nice football back to Palace, because we've just been stable. And then we pull out, you know, signing for Ferguson, who looks really promising, wing back or full back.
He's from West Brom guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he's getting surgery now, so I don't know will we see him for the start of the season, but he's definitely going to feature because Joel Ward is getting on. And to sign this guy from QPR then as well, who, I don't know, you shouldn't say it, but like when you see highlights of him and you see his goals and his assists, holy shit, he's lively.
Yeah,
very, very lively. Plays in a number 10 role too, which is very interesting, considering we never really play with a number 10.
Yeah.
And just seeing us spend money and QPR fans being devastated that he's left kind of picks the spirits up a bit.
Yeah.
Knowing us, we'll have a really good start or a really good end to the season. We won't have a consistent season. It's always the way. We just got to hope that we do enough in the good patch. You know?
Yeah.
But no, I think we'll be okay this year.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Is that that?
I think that's our season review. I mean, that's a top four. That's a bottom three.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we... Any? I guess what we kind of mentioned with Leeds. I think they'd be my surprise package, even though it's not much of a surprise.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for Leeds. Liverpool have them first day of the season. I'll be really interested to watch them.
Good tell. Liverpool, two seasons in a row with a newly promoted side in their first game. Norwich last year.
True. Yeah.
Good omen? Bad omen? Omen.
Who believes in omens? Well, I think...
Well, listen back to podcast number 13 if you want to see who believes in omens.
I was much more confident about beating Norwich than I'd be about beating Leeds.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
So
they have a big chip on their shoulder too. They'll be hard to beat, you know?
Yeah. So, can't wait.
Cool. Well, that wraps up our early... season expectation. I guess the next time we'll be talking about our expectations will be after the first game of the season.
Yeah.
But that's ours for now. we want to have a chat about the kits, because it's been a bit of an eccentric off-season. Some teams showed their kits at the end of the last season. Some revealed them during the break. The podcasts have come together to pick our top three favorite kits and our top three worst kits. I guess leave a comment on Facebook or YouTube, or maybe just, you know, text your mate on what you agree with or disagree with. Whatever gets us out there would be great. But our top three kits, Hanny, if you want to hit us with the first one.
Number three?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
that
don't
way.
Go one. You
yeah,
gotta
fuck,
save
sorry,
it.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, that means it's me saying it, so, because I've more to say on this.
Oh
one.
Yeah, yeah. You say this one. This is three.
You know, I fucked this up already. That's media training's been out the window. in number three, it's Brighton's home kit. Very plain, very standard, a lovely white color. I think it's
lovely
a
white color.
White color.
Oh. We should like redo all this.
Okay, yeah.
It's like it's blue.
Fuck's sake.
Fuck, you know.
Okay,
do
okay.
Do we keep going or do it again?
I mean, yeah, just keep going.
Okay.
If you're listening at this point, I mean, fair play to
this
you.
This is going
to
be the highlight.
Fuck, this is supposed to be a video.
Well... okay, maybe think, just say Brighton. Brighton home kit. Number three, Brighton home kit. There we go.
Flynn, I think that part could be the intro, maybe. Maybe intro.
He's definitely made an intro already, and he's like, you motherfucker. Yeah. Anyway.
Whatever you think is best, man.
Let's just do it again. Okay. Let's just do... He can keep this in, but at least to make a video, to say, number three, Brighton home kit, and we can start a Facebook video there.
Okay. Number three, Brighton's home kit.
Nice.
Number two.
Oh, Lord. Okay, poor. Do it again. All right, sorry. Okay. I won't.
No.
Just look at it. There's a picture. Oh, fuck.
That's a pair of socks.
There's a picture of it there, if you need it.
Oh, lovely white colour. Well, all right. Stop the giggles.
Yeah. You got it.
Okay. In at number three is Brighton's home kit. I'm a fan of this, and that says a lot, you know, as a Palace fan, for me to say that it's one of the best kits in the league. I think it's plain, straightforward, a lovely white collar. Not collar. Kind of like pinstripes down the front too. The logo isn't, like, I'm just so used to seeing, like, Chinese writing with a betting company. American Express, kind of classy. Lallana looked great in it. A very handsome young man. And I think it's just solid. I really like it.
You were saying the move away from the stripes.
Sorry, yes. Yeah, biggest thing too is that's quite a bold call.
Yeah.
You don't really see teams that usually wear stripes alternate. And when they do, it usually goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it usually does. So Brighton have gone away from the Tesco shopping bag look to a more classy blue, maybe kind of a Birmingham City feel to it.
Yes, yeah. Very much so, yeah.
But yeah, very nice kit.
So number three. Number two, we have Manchester City's third kit.
Mm. Interesting design.
I don't know how to explain this, but it's white with, what do you call those?
They look like cells, don't they? They look like biology cards.
Yeah, yeah, little light blue, like cells, kind of like a teardrop shape around it. It actually looks kind of wank on its own, but seeing the players wear it, it actually looked quite cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's just something different. We haven't seen something like that before.
No, we haven't. Interestingly, as well, right? I wonder, is it a homage or a homage? For Liam Gallagher's clothing brand, Pretty Green. He uses that design a lot, but I don't think he's credited to it. But he's obviously a big Man City fan. Yeah. But it does look quite similar, so I wonder, is it maybe a bit of pinching going on? But
right, whatever.
Yeah, very nice kit. Looking
I like
forward
it
to
less
that.
Now. But anyway.
Take it out.
Yeah. And our number one kit is the Arsenal away kit, which they won their first piece of silverware in today.
Fitting.
It's white. It's got like a red marble that I believe supposedly represents the marble that was in... What the fuck?
Highbury?
In Highbury.
Yes. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
The old stadium, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Highbury, yeah.
So, yeah, I just think it looks really good. Arsenal always do good kits, but... I mean, we kind of... I approach this as... If my team brought this kit out, would I be happy with it?
Mm.
I fucking wish Liverpool had brought out that kit with those colours. I think it's class.
Yes. Arsenal rarely get a kit wrong. Actually, yeah. I can't even think of a bad Arsenal kit. Even their centenary kit was very sweet. I really liked it. I find their sponsor too. Because I think a sponsor makes or breaks a 100%, kit.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. And I think their sponsor looks very, very classy.
Mm.
Opposed to, I guess, honourable... Oh, no, they're in the next section. Forgive me. I was going to say that kit that has a very bad logo on it, but we'll get to that one. Honourable mentions, I guess, are Spurs away, like the green kit. Again, it's very much like my reasons for the Brighton kit. It's just plain. It's
mm-hmm.
good colours. Yeah, it's not traditional, but you kind of need to mix them up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the other honourable mention?
Yeah, I quite like the United third kit. It's kind of black. I don't even know what you call it. It's like black and grey, if that's possible. I don't really like the stripes on the shoulders, but again, when it's on the players, it looks very smart indeed.
Very good.
And that pains me to say.
Yeah. Kind of like Arsenal, you rarely see a bad United kit. I think they're so big and they're so worldwide that they kind of have to play it a little bit safe every year.
Yeah.
It's never anything elaborate, is it? It's always like the same design on three different colours.
Feels like they're pushing out a little bit this year. They have a bit of a pattern, but you know, I think that's the thing. It's Arsenal are doing the same.
Do you remember when they had like the kilt colour, like the kilt pattern on
their shirt? That was terrible. Was that when Van Persie was there?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Fuck.
But that it became like an iconic kit because they did really well that year. But it was a bad kit.
Yeah.
Bad kit.
Bad kit.
Yeah. Speaking of bad kits.
Oh, nice! Yes, you're on fire today.
Fucking Mr. Segway.
Mr. Segway.
In at number three
is the Southampton home kit. I mean, I just think it's shit. So Southampton, we all associate with stripes, white and red stripes. This is just a plain red kit with a diagonal white stripe across, like, the chest.
Yeah.
I think teams do this sometimes. Like, Juventus did it.
Mm.
Was it this year when they just went from stripes to trying to change it up? Just stick to what you fucking do, you know? I mean, if it was one stripe down the middle, I'd nearly say it's better. One diagonal stripe stripe trying to make it cool is just cack, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did this before, because I remember Jason Puncheon playing for Southampton wearing a very similar kit. I don't see the need for the change, to be honest.
And they actually had, like, what I was describing, a stripe down the middle. They kind of had that last season.
Yeah.
Which looks way, way better. Mm. And now they just have... It's basically a red kit.
It's a sash... Yes. What do they call it? A sachet, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, with like fucking bridesmaid on it or something. Idiots.
Championship team to be. Nice.
So, sorry, Southampton.
Yeah. Do better next time.
Yeah. And I actually think all their kits follow that pattern, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
Yeah.
Because moving on to our number two.
Oh, here we go.
Is the Palace home kit. Now, it all follows the same pattern. I really like the away and the third kit, the white and black. I feel are good kits.
Okay.
It just doesn't work with the home kit. And it's just the middle stripe. The fact that it doesn't go up to the neck just makes it look very odd. It is growing on me. The Palace kit just kind of feels wrong. It looks wrong. And it's basically all down to that middle stripe, not going up to the top of the shirt.
So bizarre.
It just...
But did you say that was designed by a 9-year-old or something?
Well, yeah. Here's the story is that, like, they're clearly... There's clearly a message that the Palace board and community are trying to show is that when this was advertised and when the shows, the shirts, sorry, were presented, it was these four colours or these colours unite us.
Yeah.
And it's basically red and blue, white and black. Very fitting for the time, right? So the sentiments are very respectful. And it turns out that the design of the kits was one that was sent to Steve Parish, the chairman, by a 7-year-old fan. Which, again, lovely. Mm-hmm. It is really nice that there's a community filled to Palace, right? But there's a fucking reason we don't let 7-year-olds make decisions, right? we don't, right? Because they get it wrong.
Let's just make this a soundbite for your son in like 4 years' time.
Poor fuck having to grow up listening to this anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a reason why.
It's not great. I don't know why they went with it.
I mean, take the idea and be like, well done, little Jack.
Yeah.
But here's your kit, but we actually changed it. Because what's the fucking point of like the Puma design team? They're like... let's get a lot of fucking kids pictures, will we? Not great. But yeah. I think it's growing on me, and you know, it's red and blue predominantly, and that's us. It's stripes as well.
Cool.
Leads us to the worst kit. Wolves away.
Yes.
What are they doing? What are they doing?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
It is.
Like, and the fact that, like, if they committed to that design that's on the body all over, you'd kind of go, well, fair enough. The fact that the sleeves are totally different, it's terrible.
I don't get it. Like, four colours on one shirt is probably, like, when have you ever seen a football shirt more than two colours, really? Three at a push.
Three, yeah. Yeah. Four.
Four is mental. Yeah. Like, I get why the sleeves have the gold and black on it. It's the Wolves colours, right? But like you said, if they just cut the white and it was all that design, beautiful kit.
Yeah.
Strange.
They pissed the bed on that one.
They shat the bed. Honourable mentions before we wrap things up. The Chelsea kits.
Yeah. This is not just the Chelsea kit, but all three of Chelsea's kits. The home kit... for some reason, maybe it's because we're Irish, it just looks wrong.
Three, because we are. Oh, right.
Yeah, the three, yeah. So we're used to like the. It was like a white three on a green kit. This is like a blue three on a blue kit.
Yeah.
It just looks terrible, to be honest. It looks like Nike just made no effort whatsoever. Their away kit, this white thing, it's got some stripes on it. Not even stripes. What do you call them?
Dots.
Lines.
Yeah.
Looks like it's...
Squiggles.
Yeah. I mean...
Without them, nice.
Without... White kits, honestly, you can really struggle to go wrong with a white kit.
Yeah.
And Chelsea have done it. And their third kit, which is just a knockoff Palace kit.
Yeah.
Where they even got red and blue, I have no fucking idea.
I mean, yeah. Look, I mean...
I mean, we could have made the bottom three the three Chelsea kits, but that would be boring.
But it's such a weird one. Like, your third kit's supposed to be, like, distinctive so that it doesn't clash.
Yeah.
Red and blue are very common shirt colours.
Fucking Egypt.
Chelsea, eh? And people say that we don't criticise Chelsea enough. Well, there you go. Shit kits.
All right.
Cool. Okay, well, that wraps up the 16th Put Them Under Pressure podcast. Thanks everyone for listening in. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please stay tuned for a new one in about 2 weeks' time. Au revoir.
You've been listening to the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. To keep up to date with all of our content, give us a follow on Spotify, YouTube, and Facebook. Outro music. Boom.
That was good.
That was good, yeah?
Yeah.
That was good.
You prepare and we go and do our best. You put them under pressure.